I will be reading 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. That will be found on page 1102 in the Pew Bibles in front of you. Again, that is 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Thank you.
Thank you. That was well done, Lee. Thank you very much. Good evening. It's great to see you here tonight. Glad that you are with us and glad that you came back to worship our Heavenly Father and study another portion of His Word. Had a lot of good comments and thoughts this morning after we finished, and some things I didn't say that some people brought to my attention that were worthy of saying. I just didn't. But as we mentioned this morning, it is a challenge and an issue, and that has a wide range of applications attached to it. And tonight, I probably need the slide that I had this morning, which says nothing is intended to be harmful to anybody and nobody is being singled out or any such thing. But we do get more specific with regards to our bodies belonging to God tonight. And again, the title or the idea, the overarching theme is self-examination. And so no one else is intended to examine another person. God has forbid that. No one else is intended to judge another person in these matters. Every servant stands before his own master. But this evening we do turn our attention to what ultimately is the issue. And that is our controlling of ourselves. The subduing of ourselves. If you have your Bibles there in your 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, let's talk first of all about the content of what we're reading, because it's the text itself that gets very specific with regards to our ownership or who owns us and our relationship to God. You know, the church at Corinth had many problems. He's already discussed back in chapter 1, there is division. In chapter 2, that continued. And in chapter 3, he said they were carnal. And they were babes. Couldn't speak unto them as unto spiritual men and women, because they weren't. They weren't spiritual. In chapter 4, Paul says he had used Apollos as an example, that they were full of themselves, and how they, on the other hand, had served. Chapter 5, as you know, brother has his father's wife. Paul says a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. It is not going well in Corinth. And here in chapter 6, the breakdown of the chapter begins with them taking one another to court. And so he talks about that as we look at the chapter. The folly and shame of brothers taking each other to law before unbelievers. Paul addresses that. In fact, he opens the text by saying, "Dare any of you do this?" That they were going to court with each other and taking one another to court for what would be described as small matters, trivial things. Paul chides them for that and corrects them. In verses 7 and 8 of the chapter, he addresses a spiritual solution to that kind of behavior. And the spiritual solution he sets forth is clearly not being heeded. In fact, it's within this chapter that those great words are uttered. Words that are confusing to carnal-minded people. Words, in fact, that are flat-out disagreeable to people who do not have the Spirit of Christ. Paul asks the question, why do you not rather take wrong? Well, that's not Corinth. There is no one living like that, or at least that's not the spirit of the place. And Paul addresses that. He gives a warning that should have already been heeded, beginning in verse number 9, that great section of scripture that asks, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" That begins in verse number 9. Then he talks about that which is lawful and expedient, which we will discuss at some length tonight, as well as the body and its uses. He talks about that. In the end, he closes the chapter by noting their relationship with God. And so we are talking about our health, we're talking about our bodies, and we're talking about then self-examination. We take those matters that the Apostle Paul says within the chapter, and we begin to describe this challenge. It is rightly called a challenge, because subduing ourselves, now that's a challenge. In fact, it is the singular most important one we have, and probably the most difficult. While people want to get stuck up on the item in question, while we could just say, if we didn't have the sermon this morning, it's why we had to have that one before this one, because we need to understand food. Okay, I get it. And it's very easy when people say, well, just eat this, don't eat that. Well, there you go. Problem solved. No, that's not the problem. And it certainly does not solve it. No, the bigger challenge is the subduing of self. And that is what's not taking place in Corinth. We are challenged, certainly with food, and we'll talk about that. But the challenge goes deeper than even that. Go back and look at the first issue. And here's what we're challenged when it comes to subduing self. We're challenged not to fight for our rights. When you talk about subduing self, that's what's going wrong in Corinth, or at least part of the problem. Dare any of you have the boldness, we might say it this way, you had the audacity to do what? You have the audacity, that word means the willingness to take bold risks. You have the boldness to take your brother to court before unbelievers. Why would you do that? Because you want to fight for your rights. You have some thoughts about you. They've been aggrieved and offended, and in your mind, the way to handle that is, I will stand up and defend myself, even if that means taking you to law before unbelievers. As Paul enumerates that idea, he says it's harmful to the brethren who are involved. When brethren go to court and litigate against each other, I can't imagine their relationship improving. It's harmful to those that are without. Paul says they go before unbelievers. What must they then think of them as they come? He even says, is there not a wise man among you? Could not the least inside of the body handle this situation? Why can't it be solved? Because you're challenged. We're challenged not to fight for ourselves. Harms the church, manifests carnality. Let me ask this, verse number 7. Paul says, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? But it's not just taking wrong. Because you might say, well, I take a lot of wrong. People do me wrong all the time. I smile at it and I keep on moving. Ain't that big a deal to me. I just take it and I just go on. No, there's a second part. Paul says, why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Not just taking wrong. It's being cheated out of something. Paul says, take that too. You do not fight for yourself. Why not? Because you don't belong to you. Because you are bought with a price. Somebody else owns me. If that's true, then I don't fight for myself. We are challenged with this idea of self-control and self-submission and getting myself. We're challenged not to fight for ourselves, but not only that. We're challenged not to live. We're challenged not to live our changed. Down in verse number 9, Paul says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither, and he begins to list sins. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. What do you mean we're challenged not to live our change? There is a man who has his father's wife in chapter 5 in this church. Paul says you were fornicators. But in verse 11, he says, but you are washed, but you are justified, but you are sanctified. You're supposed to already be living differently than you were. When you find, and I find, my life being the same after Christ as it was before Christ, something has gone wrong. I'm supposed to already be changed when I go through the water and come out on the other side. The change was supposed, but how many times because of me am I challenged to live my change? No, very often because I don't subdue me, the attitude comes over. The anger comes over. The sharp tongue, the sarcastic bite, the stick it to, it comes over. The way I used to be is largely the way I am. Why? Because I own me, not Jesus. You're not going to be telling me what to do. You're not going to be telling me how to live. You're not going to be telling me what you believe or what you think. No. It should be that I've already changed. Verse number 11, Paul ends that verse, but you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by his authority. And then he says, and by the Spirit of our God. You and I are supposed to live our change. What's my greatest challenge? People, human beings, you, me, we seem to love easy. Tell me what to do. You know, it's actually easier to say, eat this, don't eat that. Got it. Than it is to say, change your heart about why you do what you do. Change your intentions. No, I don't want to do that. You just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And the Bible just does not do that. Because God wants our hearts. We love to get in fights about what one should and what not should. I have heard arguments from both sides, and the people who craft them are skilled at presenting their cases for whatever we want to do. We'll find a way to make it in the end sound right. We should already be living changed lives, but it's challenging. And often we're not. We're challenged to not become a slave. In verse number 12, the Apostle Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I probably should have put more words to challenge not to become a slave, because that's not the totality of the thought. The thought actually in its entirety would be something like this. Challenge not to become a slave to something else. Because the reality is, in Scripture, we are supposed to be slaves. Except we're supposed to be slaves to Christ. We're already supposed to have a master. We're already supposed to be slaves. However, the challenge arises when somebody else or something else vies for mastery of us. Back in Romans chapter 6, the Bible is just so good in taking physical things and then laying them aside, spiritual things, so that if you understand the one, you can understand the other. And if you can understand slavery and all that it entails, you can understand that when it's used spiritually. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, Paul says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Now he's talking about servitude to sin. And he says, if you do that, if you yield yourself a servant to sin, it will master you and lead you to death. On the other hand, if you yield yourself, submit yourself to righteousness, you will be led to life. It will master you and you'll be led to life. With regards to sin, Paul says in verse 17, "But thanks be to God that ye were the servants of sin, but ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." That's the same thing he says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. You were, but now you are. Let's make this personal, because that's kind of the other thing we like to do. Whenever we don't want to stop something, change something, become, grow, strengthen, move, we just say, "You know everybody. You know everybody." And then by that, we have an escape hatch. It drops us right out of the mirror. It stops me from looking at me. I don't have to look at me anymore, because everybody. The Bible is amazing in this regard. God just keeps pointing the mirror in front of me. Try as I might, he won't let me peek around and see you. From the very beginning, he said, "Adam, where are you?" He said, "Adam, did you eat? Cain, if you do well, you will be accepted. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And it just continues this way all the way through the Bible. Achan stole the Babylonian garments. Achan did that. How do we know? God had the whole nation come out. And then God took a tribe. And then God took a family. And then God took a household. And then God took a man. Listen to how personal Paul gets. "All things are lawful to me." Got it. It's personal. But then he adds, "But I will not be brought under the power of any." Self-control begins with self. Self-control begins with I. And it demonstrates conviction. Paul says, "I will not. I won't do it. I will not be brought under the control of something else." I preached to you this morning. There are things I can't preach to you. I'm certainly not going to come back tonight and then contradict what I preached this morning. So I cannot tell you nobody can eat meat. Nope, can't tell you that. I can't tell you nobody should eat sweets. Can't tell you that. I can't tell you, nobody should have seconds. Can't tell you that. But what do you know about you? Should you do it? Should you go back? Should you do what you're doing when it comes to food? And is it controlling you? Has it mastered you? You know that better than I do. And you're in charge of that. Paul says all things are lawful, which is why we have to have the first sermon. Is it lawful? Absolutely. But I won't be brought under the power. Some people have. There's no other way to say that. Just like money. See, there were some people in here last week who, when we talked about money, they said, shh, I mastered that a long time ago. And then there were some people in the audience last week who money still masters. But the people who mastered money may be a slave to food. I could give up sweets. I just don't want to. Okay. I could quit anytime I want. Okay. That's exactly what other addicts say. I could quit anytime I want to. You know, whether or not you need to, you know. Whether or not it's your master, you know. And what the Apostle Paul says is, I will not be brought under its power. He understands it could make me its slave. And I could do that which is harmful to me serving that master. And the absolute honest truth of the matter is, some people are harming themselves with food because food has mastered them. And they have to look at that. I suppose I could get myself into a whole lot of trouble if I'm not already. I'm certainly not a doctor. I don't play one. Never been one. Don't pretend to be one. But it's very serious. When and if we, let me back up and say it this way. I know a thousand times there could be and there are mitigating circumstances for a lot of different people under a lot of different things. I don't speak with a broad brush painting everybody. Don't do that. But friends, it just has to be said. And there's no other way to say it. Sometimes we are harming ourselves and compensating with medicines. There's just no other way to say that. There are people who have, because of this relationship, given themselves, aided, assisted, helped themselves to be unhealthy, and then tried to combat that with medicine. And sometimes the medicine encourages them to keep doing the wrong thing. And I realize it's more glamorous to talk about fornication. Everybody knows a fornicator. Let's get on fornication. Like homosexuality. Yeah, it's in the list. It's in there. Adultery. If a man commits adultery, let's make sure we stomp out it. Yeah, it's in the list. But a lack of self-control and a lack of subduing self has a wide range of applications. And when it comes to you and I not being able to control ourselves because of something that has mastered us, you as an individual, I have to confront that in my life. Paul said, I have a master, I'll not have another one. While it may be lawful, it's not helpful. And I will not be brought under the power. And you got to appreciate the last phrase he says, of any. This is where, again, Christians sound sometimes just like school children saying mine is better than yours, because they get their sin and they say, well, mine's better than yours. Oh, you struggle with pornography? For shame. Got no man who gonna struggle. Got no use for a man who struggle with. You got no use for that guy. You got no use for him. While your struggle is as real and has mastered you much the same way. Paul said, not me. Every one of us ought to say, not me. I'll not be brought under the power of any. Does someone or something control you, or does Jesus? Number next, Paul says, we are challenged. I'm saying, I believe the words teach, challenged not to accept the world's wisdom. Beginning in verse number 13, Paul says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Here's what I mean by the point. Challenge not to accept the world's wisdom, because that's exactly how the world talks. Meats for the belly, belly for meats. If it feels good, do it. You're going to die of something. I love that. I just love that. You're going to die of something. Well, that's, yeah. Yeah, you are. So what now? Jump off a roof? So what now? Run down the middle of 285 because you're going to die of something? You only live once. Enjoy yourself. You only go around once. That's, again, another nice way of diverting the issue. Poor reasoning leads to poor living. That's what happens. And then we live out our reasoning and then give ourselves to live it out. We reason poorly and then justify why we're doing what we're doing. I actually had people say to me, you know, healthy people die too. True. That's true. Or don't you love this one? Everything in moderation. Oh, you just do a little bit of everything in moderation. You know, the second half, to see the folly in that, the second half of the verse says the body is not for fornication. Are there any proponents of fornication in moderation? No. No, everything in moderation. Really? Everything in moderation? No, you don't mean that. You don't mean everything in moderation. Not what you mean. It is, again, a convenient smokescreen, and it does create this issue. I would suggest that moderation is usually sold to people who are already addicted. The person in question is usually already beyond the pale of control. And now you're asking someone beyond the pale of control to be moderate. We wouldn't do that if it weren't food being discussed. Nobody would tell a person struggling with alcohol, well, listen, just a little bit moderation. Be a moderate. We wouldn't tell a person struggling with cocaine, well, now what you need to do is just be moderate. The person in question may already have an issue, may already be out of control with regards to the issue, and then somebody's going to come along and say, well, you just need to be moderate. But we're challenged not to accept the world's wisdom and reason like them. The body, part of the verse says, is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Verse 14, God raised up both. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 58, God raised up both. He will raise up the body. I think I've mentioned to you the prayer I heard. Now, I don't know if it were here. Maybe it was here. It was somewhere I was preaching. Brother got up just as sincerely as he could. And I trust he was sincere. I'm saying that. I trust he was sincere. He was just pleading to the Lord. Give Brother Owens a long life. Give Brother Owens a healthy life. And then he added, he can preach in your service. And I'm sitting there on that front pew listening to that. And a thought occurred to me. What if Brother Owens is the one working against the fulfillment of the prayer? What if by my direct action, I'm hindering my health? What if by what I'm choosing to do, I am actually shortening my days? While this brother prays to God to lengthen them. There are people who will affect their health in such a way that they will shorten their days and not be able to serve God for that duration that would have maybe been theirs as a result of everything being equal in their physical lives. We're challenged not to accept the world's wisdom and then reason out of this simply, well, it's your body, we all gonna die, you do whatever you want. Body's not for fornication, body's for the Lord. But people say that. We're challenged not to accept the world's wisdom. We're challenged not to appreciate our relationship with God or with Christ. Those verses 3, 9, 15, 16 all begin the same way in the King James or some very close equivalent. They start like this. Know ye not? Do you not know? Do you not know? Here in verse number 16, he says, what? Know ye not? That he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two said, he shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. He's talking about fornication very specifically, and he's talking about the body of the individual who would take his body and join it to someone and commit fornication. That person must not understand that his body is not his. He is a member. That's Christ's body, a member of Christ's body. Your body is joined unto the Lord. And so he asked, shall I take then the members of Christ and make the members of Christ an harlot? In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, Paul says, know ye not that we are all baptized into one body? Therefore, we are members. In particular, verse 13, verse 27, we're members of Christ's body. And so if you take your body and you do something with it, Paul says, you're taking the body of Christ, a member of Christ's body, and joining it to a harlot. But sometimes it seems we're challenged not to appreciate our relationship with Christ and how our actions affect him. You remember back in Acts chapters 8 and 9, in chapter 9 specifically, well, in chapter 8, Saul of Tarsus, he stands there and he receives the garments of them that stoned Stephen, the end of 7 into 8, into chapter 8, that they that are scattered abroad when everywhere preaching the word. When you get to chapter 9, Saul has gotten letters to go and to hail men and women to prison. But note his interchange with the Lord and how the Lord refers to those people and himself. It begins in verse number 4. The Bible says, he fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. The reason that's so important is because in chapter 9, verse 4, the Bible says Saul persecuted Jesus. In chapter 8, the Bible says he persecuted the church. He persecuted the church. And when Jesus appeared to him, he said, you're persecuting me. That's the force of 1 Corinthians 6. What? Know ye not? Know ye not that your body is the member of Christ's body? Do you not know that? That's the question. And we're challenged to appreciate our relationship with Christ because generally we almost act as if we're two parts. The body is mine. I do with it anything I want to. And the spirit belongs to Jesus. This chapter is saying no, no. In fact, this chapter is saying they both belong to God. Verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Know ye not? Know ye not? Do you not know? Maybe it's because we just don't talk about it. Maybe it's because we are and desirous to be very, very nice and have no desire to offend. And maybe it's because we know what a touchy, touchy subject it is. And maybe that way we just kind of go over it. Or maybe it's because the very thing I said I couldn't preach to you this morning is all we ever preach. Maybe all we ever do is say don't and you can't and you can't, and if you do and you don't, and we get these piles of the physical. They have to tell us. They had to do the research, come out and tell us, hey, listen, skinny people are sometimes unhealthy too. They had to tell us that because nobody believes it. Because all we do is look at the exterior and we say, boy, if you're overweight, got to be struggling with food, done with you. Boy, if you got no money, you must be a bad man, done with you. And we just pop, 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 got everybody nicely in their cubicles and we just move on with our lives. We never want to get to the point where we actually step one step further behind and say, how is your self-control in any of it? And have you mastered you in all of it? And do you belong to Jesus, or do you have different things controlling you? We become very kind to ourselves with our masters, and very mean-spirited to other people with theirs. The truth of the matter is, through no action of our own, some struggles have exterior evidence. And when we see those, ha, got them. While at the same time, as David mentioned this person this morning, person making that judgment has a whole lot of issues inside. They just don't have any outward manifestations. And so they think they're hid. Now, they're not. Paul asked the question, do you not know your body belongs to God? In fact, you'd have to try to miss the emphasis of this in Scripture, because the first time Jesus sits down to talk, back in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 3, his first words are, blessed are the poor in spirit, empty yourself. His first words. You'd have to work hard to miss that. You'd have to work hard to miss Jesus when he says, oh, come to me and take my yoke and learn of me. You'd have to miss that. That's the emphasis, not you. We would have to try to miss Jesus saying, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, then come on and follow me. As to believe we could live lives that simply acknowledge that, well, the spirit is mine. I'll do with it anything I want to, but my body, now, you can't tell me what to eat. You're right. I hope I covered that this morning sufficiently. I can't tell you what to eat. I can't tell you where to spend your money and how much of it and on what. But God is saying your heart behind these matters is the matter. And every writer who writes in the New Testament, if he writes about his relationship with God, he says this, I'm a slave. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, a doulos, a slave, I belong to him. James, a servant of Jesus Christ, I'm a slave, I belong to him. Peter, an apostle, servant of Jesus Christ, I belong to him. You and I are challenged. Yeah, our health, our nation is certainly having issues here, and it's before everybody and easy to see, and you see what we do with it. We run to size and tell you, eat this, don't eat that. Now, the real issue is, what are you doing inside on this and everything else? What's the challenge? This, examine yourself. Does Christ have control over your spirit and body? or does someone or something else? Only you can answer that. Challenge is presented for us this week is to examine ourselves, bring the money forward, and then check your health and examine yourself in regards to it. And let Jesus rule your life. Let Jesus be your master and not something else. Not a Christian tonight, become one. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is. It's not true because you believe it. You should believe it because it's true. And if you don't believe Jesus is the divine Son of God, Jesus said you'll die in your sins, and where he is, you cannot come. You need to believe that. You need to repent and turn from sin and turn to Christ. Confess his name and be immersed in water and let Jesus save you from your sins and from yourself and from Satan. And let Jesus give you a home in heaven. Friends, if you have done that, it is the greatest challenge any of us has. To control ourselves, to subdue our passions, and to put ourselves under the yoke of Christ and let him master us and let him lead us. Set that before us all this week. Pray that we will take it up. Pray that we will, in the end, have Christ as our Lord and our Savior, our Master, and not something else. Consider it. And friends, if necessary, make changes in your life to bring yourself into harmony with Jesus. We can assist you in any way. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.